this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyon-like.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. This is our very first program. Our first program from our new studios in our underground bunkers somewhere in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And, man, this is really neat. I just plugged my co-host into the wall. Well, my co-host computer, Al the Third. And I plugged it into a power outlet, a receptacle, that I put in with my own hands. It's the first actual work I've done in 12 years. Well, not just the receptacle, the walls. We put up the wall. Doug McBurdy framed this bunker. And if you could hear him, that's because the studio's not quite done yet. Doug, we're going to be able to hear everything you say. That's fine. I'm knocking where a window should be. This is a 2x4 stud that will be, the window will go inside this open area. So the studio is mostly finished, except for the doors and the windows. And when those are in, and you might hear a little bit of an echo because we have all bare walls around us, but we wanted to get going. And this evening, actually during the broadcast, we're going to have an engineer installing our phone system. But we didn't want to wait any longer. We wanted to get back on the air. So the phones are not up, so you'll have to wait until next week to call in to the program. But I want to give you an update on what's been going on, and we have been busy. What's happened since our last broadcast a couple weeks ago at KGov? Well, for me, as far as the media is concerned, I've been making the rounds. I was on Fox News Channel, Hannity and Combs. And I'm going to talk about each of these, let you know what happened. Had a great time. Then on WABC Radio in New York, that's the Rush Limbaugh station there, during drive time, 1 hour, I did with Sean Hannity. And, you know, Sean is a conservative. Is he a conservative? He's more conservative than anybody else in the media, practically. But I have a knack of bringing the liberal out of a conservative talk show host. And I did that for an hour on WABC Radio. And Sean Hannity's producer told our publicist that they've been getting calls from their listeners who always love Sean. You know, everybody's audience loves the host. That's why they're his audience. And they love Sean. And he said this is the first time in memory people have been calling and complaining the way Sean dealt with the issues that we talked about the hour I was on, because he sounded like a liberal for an hour. That was fun. And they said, well, look forward to do another show. And then I was on Politically Incorrect with ABC, on ABC, Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. And that was a trip. That aired last night. So we'll talk about that. And then just today at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I was on MSNBC. I actually prefer Rush's PMSNBC. I was on PMSNBC. The show I was on followed Hardball, Chris Matthews and Hardball. You know, you're thinking, that show's not on MSNBC. It's on CNBC. But it's a primetime show. It's CNBC's number one show. But they also, NBC, also broadcast that on PMSNBC. At 5 p.m. Eastern Time, because PMSNBC gets in some markets that CNBC doesn't get into, and so that way their number one show gets a larger audience. But after Chris Matthews, Mike Barnacle has a program. He does it on a boat moored in the Boston Harbor. No, not really, but his website is a picture of him on a boat. Mike Barnicle, of all things. He's a columnist, right, for Boston Globe, but also New York Daily News or the New York Post, one or the other. So at any rate, so I want to take them backwards. Let's start with the latest appearance. Just so you guys know, when we're down at KGov, it doesn't mean we're not doing anything. We're doing construction, actually working with our hands, and we're reaching more people than we do on KGov. If we try to add up the audience, you know, politically incorrect, I can't comprehend it, but their ratings have been very good lately. I don't understand why. But Doug was on recently. That is some reason to understand their high ratings. But, you know, in the top 10 markets, they go head-to-head against Letterman in 7. And they are tying him or beating him in 6 on a few nights a week. How could that be? How is it possible that Politically Incorrect could beat Letterman? I'd like to beat Letterman with Bill Maher as hitting him over the head with Bill Maher's body. But I can't understand that. So anyway, Politically Incorrect, we were on to about 1 million people. About 1 million people, and it went, I think, very well. Hey, our phone engineer's got here. All right. Now, this at Rich Huxford, you must not be part of a union because it's too late for union guys. You're a real worker. Thank you very much for being here, Rich. And because we don't have the window in the studio, we don't have the door, we're not soundproof, we don't even have the official studio foam on the walls, so you'll hear a little bit of an echo, and any noise, any working man's noise, or any chit-chat or riff-raff that comes into our outer studio, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. So anyway, hey, Rich, feel free to work on the phones. The audience wants to call in next week, and so we know we got to get it going tonight. So don't worry if you make noise.
All right.
It's okay. Thank you. And Rich's son just flew off to basic training today. Flew off to basic training, and my oldest stepson, my wife Cheryl's son Anthony, he flew off to basic training a while back. And now he's on a submarine for 2 months out to sea, and we're not allowed to know where he is. It's classified. We figure he's somewhere in the ocean. That's our best guess. All right. Now, so Politically Incorrect, we figured our right-wing Christian biblical message that we try to get out to as many folks as possible, reached about 1 million people. Of course, the vast majority of them would, most of what we said would go over their head. And we're going to put the transcript of that program on KGov real soon here, within a few days. But WABC Radio in New York City. Now, this we've got to estimate. We've got to estimate a couple of these. Hannity and Combs. That went well. That was supposed to be one segment. They held me over for 2 segments. Hannity and Combs, a major show on Fox News Channel. A good time slot. What would you say? I would say somewhere around 80,000 people. That's my estimate. I could be wrong, but I'd say 80,000 people. Number 2? On the network, on Fox News Channel, after O'Reilly. Well, I did O'Reilly, too, but I think we talked about that already. Maybe we should add O'Reilly to the list. Now, some of these we're estimating for years of being in this business. And news, you know, Fox News Channel in Denver gets no ratings. They don't get any ratings. And they don't get any ratings anywhere. I mean, Nielsen, when they rate them, they put an asterisk, too small to rate. So, all right, so it might be higher than 80,000. We're really guessing here. But O'Reilly, let's say O'Reilly reaches 130,000. I'm not going to go higher than that. And Hannity and Combs, they're in second place. So we'll put them at 110,000 because Sean Hannity is 3 times better than O'Reilly. But still, they're in second place. So 110,000. These are ballpark estimates. Politically Incorrect is about 1 million. We know that from Nielsen ratings. And Mike Barnicle on MSNBC. Now, that's big. That's big. I put that at about 12,000. My show on LaCie Broadcasting, we were also on, what other networks? America's Voice and out of Pittsburgh, Cornerstone TV. We're on three networks, five satellite stations nightly. My show, we reached about 30,000 to 40,000 people nightly. And that was after many years of building the audience on very small stations, comparatively speaking to the rest of the secular world. So Mike Barnicle, I don't know, 20,000 people?
Tops.
20,000 people tops, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 3 p.m. Pacific. All right. So now, I have Al here, my computer, but I think I should just add this up myself. I've got 1.2 million people. 1,260,000, 1.25 million people that we've reached in the past couple of weeks since we closed down the studio. That's not bad. Now, of course, that's the ballpark estimate, but that's close. It's good enough for government work. And so what was said? All right, well, let's start with today's program and work backwards. And by the way, we've added a new feature on KGov, our website, where we're going to begin to upload video segments. Of course, you've been listening to audio programming on KGov for a long time now, a couple years. But the video, we've never done video. And today is our foray into video, real producer, real audio, real video. You can get it all now on our website. And what we put up for our first video story has to do with the Matthew Shepard killing. You remember Matthew Shepard, St. Matthew of Assisi. It was tragic that he was murdered. He was killed in Wyoming. And they caught his murderers and put Aaron McKinney on trial. And the KGov staff, went up to Wyoming, Laramie. Was that in Laramie? Laramie, Wyoming. And we called for the execution, the death penalty, for Aaron McKinney. Because he killed someone, he killed a homosexual. Homosexuality should be criminalized. Certainly Aaron McKinney didn't have the authority to execute anyone, and he was just committing a crime. So we called for the death penalty, and for some reason we still can't understand, the judge didn't listen to us. And they just gave him prison time. That's it. And he went into prison. He went back to jail after the trial, and he was greeted to a hero's welcome. And he went in high-fiving and the other inmates and laughing. And he's a celebrity in jail, Aaron McKinney is. So anyway, we would have executed him. And there's video. A local TV news station covered our event. And believe me, when we do something, it's always an event. And the local news did maybe about 60 seconds or so on the KGov staff at the Matthew Shepard murder trial. And it was very interesting. So if you take a look at it next week, maybe you might want to call up and let us know. But we might take the MSNBC. In fact, we will. Whenever we say we will, we mean Lord willing we will. But we will take the MSNBC segment that I did today. We'll edit out the commercials, a couple segments it was, and maybe shorten some of the windbag PhD professor who was also on the program. Maybe get rid of some of that so it doesn't take 20 minutes to download the segment. And we'll just shorten it to maybe about 5 minutes and let you see what happened today on MSNBC. But it was fun. But I got a call today having to do with Jenna Bush, the president's daughter, getting in trouble for the second time in a month on an alcohol-related offense. All right, now, 2 weeks ago, she pled guilty to underage drinking. And no big deal, right? About a zillion college students a year, high school students, middle school students do that. At parties and bars and wherever they can get away with it, at school and in the dorms. Well, she pled guilty to underage drinking. And in Texas, you know, they have a law there that we've always been against. Three strikes and you're out. Now, that's her first strike. Two more strikes and she's mandatory jail time based on her father's law. How's that one? So 2 weeks ago, she pleads guilty. 2 weeks later, she uses a forged Texas ID to try to order martinis at a Mexican restaurant. That's two strikes. Daddy, one more.
Bob Enyar teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyar tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism, folks. Get the video, Bob Debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
And we're back, Bob and Enyart live on KGov. For those just joining us live, you know you could do that now, right? Normally you got to listen to the show from the beginning, but when we're live, whenever you get it, for those just joining us live, since we've done the last program, we're in our new studios. It's not complete yet. We don't have any window. Oh, man, we got power tools going and everything. We have our engineer is installing our phone system. So next week, Lord willing, we'll be able to take phone calls like usual. But we have, since we've been off the air, transitioning from one studio to another, in the last couple of weeks, we've reached about 1.25 million people in the audiences on Fox News Channel, ABC TV Network, WABC Radio, and MSNBC. And I want to start out talking about today's appearance with Mike Barnicle on MSNBC. Jenna Bush has gotten in trouble now for the second time in a month on an alcohol-related crime of some type. And so the question was on this program, should the drinking age be 21? Should it be a crime for a 19-year-old like Jenna and her sister Barbara? They're twins. And this was Barbara's first run-in with the law. She was there. Apparently Jenna was trying to get drinks for the both of them, but she didn't flash a forged ID, though. So I don't think they could get Barbara on criminal impersonation. I don't think they could get her on fraud. But Jenna is now, the police are investigating because they didn't see the crime, but they're talking to the manager of the restaurant and the bartender. And the bartender, I had a bet with a recent college graduate. And I said she went up to a bar and tried to order a drink. And he said, no, it was at a restaurant. I said, I know it was at a restaurant, but she went to the bar. And he said, she wouldn't go to the bar because it's easier to trick a waitress than a bartender, and she would order at the table. I said, no, guys would order at the table because they just want a drink. But girls want to fit in with the scene and be cool, and she wants to saunter up to the bar and order a drink. So anyway, that's what she did. It turns out, we read in the Washington Post, that the bartender told the Washington Post that he recognized Jenna Bush, and he said, you think I'm going to put my liquor license on the line for you? And then he and the manager, they called the police. Now, they're probably Democrats, granted, that's true. But I went on the show today and said, as a member of the Christian right, and also as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, I said that when you become an adult, you should have the right to exercise the privileges of being an adult. I said the insanity of our laws in America, she can have an abortion, she could go into combat and kill people, but she can't order a margarita. Our laws are backwards in this country. And I asked, why did the White House has said they don't want to comment, this is a private family matter. And I pointed out, this is a family matter that points to a federal matter, which is people have a complete disrespect for the law. Complete disrespect. The president's daughter, 2 weeks ago, pleads guilty, gets her first of three strikes. And 2 weeks later, she's using a fake ID, which it had her picture on it, somebody else's name, a Texas ID card. So is that, I don't know, the laws, as they would apply in this case, change from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, which they shouldn't do. But I don't know if that's a forgery, fraud, criminal impersonation. I don't know, but it's some of those things. And she's committing a crime against the establishment, against the bartender and the restaurant owner, because they could lose their liquor license and maybe go out of business. So I argue that as a member of the Christian right, our laws, people have little to no respect for the laws, because the laws are wrong. And what we should do, it's criminalize what's really wrong and not criminalize things that are arbitrary. So if you're an adult, you have the privileges of an adult and you could buy alcohol. On the other hand, I pointed out, in the 1970s, the federal government gave money to the states, to each state that would legalize public drunkenness. Did you know that? In 1974, and I made the point, and real quickly they went to this professor. So in the second segment, we came back, and Mike Barnicle came back to me. And I said, Mike, I want you to hear this point. In 1974, the federal government gave grants to the states that would legalize public drunkenness. Why would they do that? It's legal to be drunk in public in most of these United States. In the few states where it's still a crime, they don't prosecute it. They only prosecute it if you're hurting someone, harming or imminently harming someone. But you could be completely drunk and it's not a crime. And what should be a crime is being drunk. That should be a crime. Being high should be a crime. Not an adult purchasing alcohol. And three strikes and you're out, you know, what's a liberal to do? Because drunkenness is legal, we fight this major war against drunk driving and domestic violence and even rapes and murders because we got millions of people getting drunk every day in America. It's legal. It's legal to get drunk. Used to be a crime. So they had not MAD there, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but they had SAD there, the students. And an adult woman, Pamela, with the Students Against Drunk Driving. And it's very sad, especially what I said to her. I said, just like the federal government decriminalizing drunkenness, SAD and MAD, they encourage drunkenness through the back door by promoting a designated driver program. What does a designated driver program say to a bunch of college students? It says, go to the party, go to the bar, get smashed, as long as your nerd friend is willing to drive. You get one moron who everybody laughs at, let him drive. And then everybody else gets smashed. And that's what happens. MAD and SAD promote drunkenness. They promote drunkenness. But, of course, they're liberals, and they're not wise enough to see what's going on. So this gal, you know, Bush has got a bigger... Forget the Senate going to the Democrats. Bush has got his daughter. According to the Drudge Report, there are students on campus at the University of Texas at Austin who say they got a video of Jenna Bush feeling no pain and being totally smashed. And they're threatening to release it. I don't know. That's on the Drudge Report. That means there's 80% chance it's accurate. But so it might be true. Drudge thinks it's true. He thinks that video exists. So then that would be, you know, she's at, I don't know if that was a frat party or what, but she's at a college party drunk. She's underage drinking at a bar. She's using a fake ID. They've got trouble with their daughter. You know, they definitely. George W. Bush has more trouble with his daughter than he's going to have with the Senate. That's for sure. And her complete lack of respect for the law is a symbol of what's wrong with this country. We have arbitrary laws that have nothing to do with right and wrong. It's not wrong for an adult to buy a margarita. That's not wrong. But and to make matters worse, the system encourages her to be a criminal. Because 2 weeks ago she pled guilty, and they put the judge on national TV, some feminazi judge, and she said, oh, I treated her like every other person in my courtroom. She, underage drinking, she got a $51 fine. And she's doing 8 hours of community service, and she has to take an alcohol awareness class. I said, Your Honor, she's already aware. You know, these classes don't work at all. The sad lady and the professor, they were talking about education. If education was the answer, college campuses would have the least amount of drug and alcohol use, not the most. They'd have the least, because that's called higher education. And they've been doing drug and alcohol education in high school, which is higher than other schools, and in college and universities, and education programs, and MAD and SAD. They've been doing this stuff for years. And the most binge drinking is with the most educated segment of the population, the college undergraduates and postgraduates. So what's up? Education is not the answer. The answer is deterrence. We need to recriminalize drunkenness in America.
20 years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata, and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Enyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Enyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-ENYART.
All right. Hey, during the break, Doug McBurney pointed out our engineer must be secure in his masculinity because he has a pink. Rich, you have a pink toolbox. It's pink, your
right.
Toolbox.
Right. Well, you know, my wife was throwing this thing out in the garbage.
Oh, yeah?
Said, you know, this thing looks perfect for tools. It's got little compartments.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said,
it is. Look at that. Two tier.
I like pink, you know?
You like pink?
I like pink. I said, I'm taking it back from the homos. I'm not going to throw this thing away just because someone's going to say, hey,
you're taking the color back from the homos?
That's right.
Good job. Good job. This is not, what was this, a makeup kit?
I guess.
Yeah. A Barbie makeup kit. It's sort of heavy duty. It's perfect. Oh, wait, it says what it is right here. Could you read that? You've never read that, have you?
No.
Something. Caboodles.
Yeah, some initials for
caboodles? Caboodles. I don't know what that is. I never heard of caboodles.
And
we have a toolkit here, Rich. We took this back also from, well, this is actually Zachary, my 3-year-old. He was helping us work. It's a Swiss Army knife made out of plastic. It's got a saw and a wrench and everything and a ruler. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool stuff. Magnifying glass.
Hey.
All right. So, yeah. All right, so Jenna Bush is in trouble, obviously, along with millions of other kids, and we legalize things that should be criminal, and we criminalize things that should be legal. So she has no respect for the law, even though her father is the nation's leading law enforcement official, the president, head of the executive branch. So, okay. So now that was today on PMSNBC. Yesterday on Politically Incorrect, I was on the program with Dennis Weaver of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke and McLeod. And I went on, and he was the first one on. I was the second one on the stage. And before I gave him a handshake, I did an old gunshot at him. Tried to take him off right at the beginning of the show. Just knock him right off the stage. But there was my gun was empty, no bullets. So we shook hands, and it turns out he is a liberal. In the green room before the show, I went up to him. My friend Randy Hazel was with me. And I say, Dennis, I have been a lifelong fan. I hope you're not going to ruin that by telling me you're a liberal. And he was a liberal. His wife was even against Diet Cokes. Well, that's not liberal, but she's a major, major health person. So she made sure none of us drank Coke. We all drank water, which was fine. But anyway, the Politically Incorrect program, they had a gal on, Colleen somebody or other from the first Survivor series. And then someone from the Comedy Central, he hosted The Man Show. His name is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel. And so we talked mostly about marriage, things like that, but a little bit about the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday or 2 days ago about a golfer, even though he's handicapped and he can't walk the course, he can play professional golf. And my argument was, of course, the federal government has no right to tell us how to play games. If we want to play a game with a certain amount of certain kind of rules, you can do that. It's a game, right? And Jimmy Kimmel from The Man Show, he was arguing that the Supreme Court was right. And so the rest of us were saying, how far are you going to take this? And, you know, he was whining because the L.A. Kings lost in the playoffs against the Colorado Avalanche, but that was before the show started. So on the show, I said, you want handicapped people to play sports? I guess if the L.A. Kings goalie was in a wheelchair, you guys might still be in the playoffs. You might be going for the Stanley Cup, but the Colorado Avalanche are, and we're going to win. So anyway, that segment, it frustrated me because for the few days of preparation, it was all going to be about marriage and moral issues like that. And 10 minutes before the show, I went over with the producer. We spent 15 minutes going over the topics again, but what we're going to cover. And then at the end of that, it's 10 minutes before showtime, she said, well, how about the Supreme Court decision about the golfer? And I said, oh, I don't have any opinion on that because I don't want to come out on national TV, first one to speak up on the show, saying handicapped people shouldn't play golf. Because a conservative, they always position him as the jerk. So literally 30 seconds before showtime, Carol Chouinard, one of the producerettes, comes up to me and says, Bob, we're starting the show with the golfer segment. I said, thank you, Carol. Thank you. And so we did it, and it was fine. I made the arguments that the government should have some boundaries, and the government does not have the right to tell us how to play games. And liberals say you can't legislate morality, and then they pass laws telling you who you have to love, who you have to respect, who you have to play with. Come on! So it went reasonably well, that segment. And then we came back, and then it got really interesting. Because we were talking about marriage, and Jimmy Kimmel from The Man Show starts to speak up, and I interrupted him. I said, Jimmy, have you ever seen The Man Show? Have you ever actually seen it? And he said, what are you talking about? I host it. I said, yeah, as a crotch humorist, you're not qualified to speak on this subject. And he took offense at that. And later in the program, the next segment, he said, well, speaking as a crotch humorist, I'd like to say. So he adopted the title, which is a typical homo maneuver. No, he's not. He's married. Yeah. He's married for 13 years. At least that's what his bio says. but anyway, he, and you know, of course, when I said that, they all came against me. It was more dramatic in studio with the live studio audience there than it came across on TV. But they were pretty angry about that. But then during that next commercial break, I said, Jimmy, we had a great talk. And this happens every time I do the show. During the breaks, I talk to the people on the panel. I said, Jimmy, your kind of entertainment, what you do is helping to destroy our kids. Because they watch your garbage with all your genital jokes and your bathroom jokes and your passing gas jokes, and they have very little respect for themselves, others, parents, teachers, and you're helping to destroy our country. And he said, you know, last week I watched a segment of All in the Family. I'm thinking, okay, where is he going? And he said, and I wondered when it all went downhill. He said, because obviously it wasn't always like that. And he said, I don't know when it changed or how it changed. And I don't know how to put it back, he said to me, which was his way of agreeing. So I was glad to hear that. It reminded me about when I was on with that rapper, Cisco, and Cisco's filthy language. And during the commercial break, I made the point on the air, and I was going to read Cisco's lyrics, and he sunk in his chair. He started to slither like a rat or a snake down onto the floor because he didn't want anybody to read his lyrics in mixed company because of how disgusting they were. And so during the commercial break, I said, Cisco, don't you know that the things you sing about are helping to destroy kids, and there is a God who's going to hold you accountable on Judgment Day? And Cisco, multi-million dollar number one rapper, says, you know, I believe that. I think you're right. So I said, you got to do something about it. You can't just believe it. You got to do something because you're going to be in big trouble. And then the music starts and the commercial's over and we're back on the show. And he's his Hollywood face, Cisco. Well, so politically incorrect, we're talking about marriage, and they're condemning George W. Bush's appointment of an assistant secretary at Health and Human Services because he's a strong father type. He's been married for years. He's got a couple daughters. I think he almost had a heart attack. He fought cancer a few years back. And so he realized he had to really take care of his family and raise his daughters. And so now he's back in the government. And his goal is to get fathers in the home and to be committed and not to have kids and divorce. He said, we got to do something. We can't do nothing and expect the marriage situation to improve. And so, of course, they're all condemning that. Even Dennis Weaver, could you believe it or not? But anyway, Bill Maher starts saying how ridiculous it is. And I said, Bill, you're an enemy of marriage. For liberals, marriage, they're afraid of marriage. The concept of a husband, a wife, and some kids is a threat to liberals. I said, Bill, I said it repeatedly, you're the enemy of marriage. And he said, I am not the enemy of marriage. I just think the government should be neutral toward marriage. I said, that makes you the enemy of marriage. And I said, Bill, to you, the most meaningful relationship a man could have with a woman is with a hooker or a stripper. That's what you think. And he took that personally. He didn't like that. And it's true. I know it's true because I hear it from his whole crew, his staff. You know, they all say it. I mean, Bill Maher is known for hanging out at the Playboy Mansion and at strip joints. That's his life. I wonder how much of his money he's saved versus snorted and... I wonder how much. I don't know. So the show, it was actually pretty good. Dennis Weaver... Well, let me hold off on his point till the third and last segment. Now, actually, this was one of the few shows when they came back for the very last segment, the fourth, they actually did something. And the comedian referred to the gal from Survivors, and he said, all right, Bob, the four of us have voted you off the island. And that was the end of the show. That was pretty funny.
Bob Enyart Live is going to Israel, March 21st through the 30th, 2001. We'll be leaving out of New York City for Tel Aviv. We'll spend a night in Tel Aviv, and then we'll go into the Holy Land. And I want to read you one of the days that we're going to be in Israel. It's going to be a very small group, about 40 or so people on a single bus, so you get to know and interact with other Bob Enyart Live fans from around the country. We're going to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, then visit the Mount of Beatitudes, site of the Sermon on the Mount, and the site of the miracles of the loaves and fishes. We're going to proceed to Capernaum and cross the River Jordan and visit Caesarea, Philippi, and the Golan Heights, then return to Tiberias for dinner and the evening. Now, that's just one day. Wouldn't that be fun? You get to go to all these different places you've been reading about for so long in the Bible. You get to go on a nice, intimate trip with very few, and will be close friends by the end of the trip, I'm sure. You get to stay in 4-star hotels, because we do it right here, Bobby, in your life. We don't mess around. You're not going to be staying in a youth hostel sleeping on dirt. You're going to be staying in a nice place, and you're going to enjoy yourself. Now, the price of the trip is $1,985 per person based on double occupancy. And if you want a room all by yourself, just add $300 and you can have a room all to yourself. Now, we need a down payment coming up in just a few short weeks. And if you can't swing that, we'll put in some extra money and you can contact us a little later. But we need to hear from you to let us know that you want to go to Israel and spend a week with Bob. It is going to be great. So give us a call, 1-888-8-ENYART, and let us know you're interested in the Israel Tour 2001. And everyone here at KGov Radio would like to express our sincere appreciation to each member of our listening audience. Thank you for the financial support you've given over the years and the support that continues to come in from all around America. This is a reminder that all the ministries you hear and hear about on KGOV depend on the faithful financial giving of listeners just like you. We ask you to consider the value of our programming every time you listen. Judge the content and its impact and make a financial contribution based on your decision. You can call anytime, 888-836-9278. That's 888-8-ENYART. Make a contribution by credit card, pledge your monthly support, or sign up for one of our monthly tape series. You can also write us at KGOV Radio at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. We welcome your comments and your financial support. Call 888-836-9278 and support Bob Enyart Ministries and KGOV Radio.
How hard I try, I can't saw through this microphone with this plastic saw. And this is a good microphone, isn't it? It's an Electrovoice. RE20. This is a real studio microphone here, Doug. You're really equipping us well. And now we still need that Gintner so we could officially take calls. But, you know, some of our wonderful friends out in the audience donated. We got a couple $1,000s. And we needed a little more. We just don't have enough, and we can't go in debt. We spent a lot of money building the studio. So we're still planning on getting a Gintner so we could take calls and they could sound good. You know, somebody was frustrated. I know a number of people in the audience were frustrated with one of the last interviews I did. Who did I do an interview with? Some woman who wouldn't hardly shut up. No, not Eva the Evil Lesbian. This was just real recent. This was a week before we went closed down the old studio. And it'll come to me who she was. An animal rights gal? No. Well, anyway, people said to me, Bob, the first, 10 minutes of the interview, she would just go on and on and on. And why'd you let her go on so much before toward the end of the interview? That's when I started to beat her up. Oh, I remember. It was about the effort in Congress to criminalize injuring an unborn child while you're committing a crime. And we talked to the cadaver people. Dissecting end cadavers. The National Committee for the Advancement of Domestic Violence. Something like that. It was something like that. And they and she was a spokesman in Washington, D.C., and they're against making it a crime to kill a woman's baby in her womb during the commission of another crime. They're against that, those evil, wicked people. Well, anyway, she got 5 to 10 minutes almost of free airtime on my show, of all places. Now, normally I let them go at the beginning to get them to feel comfortable and open up and talk, and then I start to reel them in, and then we put the noose around their neck, and then we tighten it. But that all happened a little later than would normally happen, because with our phone system, and we're actually trying to modify it with our current move, but when they're talking, they cannot hear me. They can't hear me. So I try to interrupt. I try to anticipate when she's going to take a breath and interrupt, and it doesn't work. They literally cannot hear me. And that's the problem of not having a professional phone system, a phone interface for a studio. So you're running it through a mixing board, and the phones are half duplex, and they're the way they work inside the phones, and it's just difficult. So anyway, we definitely need to get in her. But now back to politically incorrect. So then we come back from a commercial break, and Bill Maher says, okay, this next story, Bob, and the panel, da-da-da, and he talks about these school kids from Washington, D.C., who get sent on a jail visit for a Scared Straight program. And in the jail visit, the teacher, the male teacher's aide, and the male prison jail guard agree to strip search the boys. And they strip search them. This is true, and it's blown up to it. They're all suspended now, including the principal of the school, because when she found out about it, the next day she let 18 girls go, and the girls saw a male inmate committing a sex act, and the one female teacher told a guard who refused to do anything about it. He didn't care, which is actually typical. You know, they have female guards in the jails watching the guys shower and use the bathroom. That's normal. That's normal. So what do they care? Anyway, they don't care. They enjoy it. So I'm wondering, well, the teacher, this is Washington, D.C. The jail has to be the most politically correct jail in the country. And the school district has to be so also. So what are the chances that the guard was a homo? And they do these jail visits, these tours, 2 to 3 times a week for years they've been doing them. So I figured that the teachers might know the guards. And it turns out that a month earlier, the principal was told by another kid that this kid said that he was strip searched. And the principal did nothing. So the principal's been suspended and might be fired. The teachers, the guards, there were 3 guards involved in the room. And not only that, they made the kids watch the strip searching of real inmates before they strip searched the kids. These were boys 14 and 15 years old. And the one kid, so they start disrobing, and the one kid is too ashamed or modest, and he won't go beyond his underwear and socks. He left those on. So one guard picks him up, puts him on a table, and pulls down his underwear and takes off his socks. And you know what the do you call it the chairman of the police union, the Fraternal Order of Cops there in Washington, D.C.? The chairman of the police union, he completely to the wall defended the cops, saying the guards should not be reprimanded or punished. It's the fault of the administration, the management, because there was no policy that said don't strip search students. And he didn't say that once. He said it repeatedly now for 2 weeks. That's his position. The guards were not wrong. There was no policy they violated. You know, I bet shoving a Bic pick, a Bic pen, up the nostril of the Fraternal Order of Police chairman is not against any guidelines. They probably never thought of writing that down somewhere. You got to write down every conceivable criminal act? That's liberalism to the max. And that's another disease of unions. No union member is ever guilty of anything other than being a union member. So anyway, of course, unions in principle could be okay, but in reality, they're extremely destructive, most of all to their members. All right, so that was the topic of the third segment, and Bill Maher starts out like an idiot, saying, "I think it's fine. These kids are acting up, and that's fine. They get too much." A dainty treatment. They really got to be shown what's going to happen to them. So he's an idiot, of course. And Dennis Weaver says, no, no, no. What we have to do is put them on a farm and let them plant corn and water it and watch it grow and then harvest it and eat it. And I'm thinking, how about shooting bad guys while they're at it? Do that too. That's part of Gunsmoke. But so I said, Dennis, what's a liberal to do? You can't transport 1,000 kids to Iowa, 100,000 kids from Washington, D.C. to Iowa and put them all on a farm. You can't do that. It's the same issue. If they had fathers at home, if they had dads, they wouldn't be juvenile delinquents. It's the same issue. I said, this is a bad month for the It Takes a Village crowd. Because the daycare centers are raising kids that are aggressive and violent. The schools and the jails, all the institutions that are meant to replace marriage, are failing. And, of course, they had no idea what I was talking about. But it was still fun. In Hannity and Combs, we talked about spanking. And it was fun. I was the first person in the last 30 years in America to say on national TV that a spanking that leaves a well or a red mark is a good spanking. Hannity, Sean Hannity, almost had a heart attack. He invited me on his radio show, WABC in New York, for an hour during drive time, and I brought the liberal out of a conservative host, as usual, and he said that he, in principle, supports spanking, but only a spanking that doesn't hurt. And he said his dad used to spank him with a belt. And I said, Sean, your dad would have went to jail. They would have taken you away because your dad left welts on you. He'd be a criminal. And he said, my dad never left welts on me. And I said, did it hurt, the spankings? He wouldn't answer the question. I said, Sean, did the spankings hurt? He wouldn't answer. I said, Sean, I want an answer. Have you ever said on your program that your dad spanked you and it hurt? Because if it hurt, he left welts on you. And he said, my dad didn't leave welts. And I said, he did too. He said, you weren't there. I said, Sean, did it hurt? And he wouldn't answer. Just like Alan Combs. When I asked Alan, were kids more violent 60 years ago, back when they got spanked, or more violent today when they don't get spanked? And he said, I don't know. I wasn't alive then. I said, you lying liberal. This is Bob Ennett reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.